And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, July 19th, 2025. We'll be right back after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
He's walking on a narrow path and holding his head high. He's talking of an answer that will make a grown man cry. He's hoping for a better day and doing all he can. He's living and he's praying for a place to make his stand. An American is someone who knows just what he's got.
Morning once again, and we are back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is July 19th, 2025, and I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And Will, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please?
You bet. Dear Lord in heaven, we come to you this morning thanking you for just being a God of order and in this world of chaos, Lord, that surrounds us, we just thank you for being the rock that we can cling to and, Lord, find solace in and to cling to your truth, to make sense of all of the nonsense in the world. Lord, we pray for our people. We pray, Lord, that our words will be pleasing to you and the truth that we speak today, Lord, will help those out there listening to us also find that comfort and peace in you and in your word. And, Lord, we ask blessings on this broadcast. And, Lord, we ask that you be with us now. It's in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Appreciate that. Well, starting off with world news, it looks like things kind of erupted in Europe this last week. It just, like, chaos.
Isn't it cool?
It is. It really is. I think they've had all that they can stand, and they can stand no more. I mean, it's like, wow.
It's all over Europe, too, right? I mean, it's not just England. It's England and Ireland and Scotland and Spain, of all places, and France. I mean, it's everywhere. And funny thing is, it's all for one reason, huh? It turns out they're tired of those brown people who came across the channel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's immigration is something that they've had it bad over there for a long time. I mean, basically that they say that if you got white women and if you got a white wife or a white daughter, they say it's not a matter of if they're going to get raped. It's just when they're going to get raped by these brown people.
Yeah. The whole thing with the crime and that's a crime too, but you know, it's just going up. I mean, it's up over 50% across the board pretty much on burglaries and rapes and murders and everything else. And I seen one of the commenters made a comment, well, they're not interested in conversation. They're interested in conquest. And it's like, duh, you know, I mean,
this has been a long time coming, too. I know 30 years ago, or close to 30 years ago, I was in France for a little bit, and I saw more North Africans in France than I saw Frenchmen, I think. I mean, they were everywhere. And I kind of inquired on that, and whoever the French government was at the time, whoever the leader was or whatever, this was at the kind of the fall of the middle 90s of the colonialism that you saw in Africa with the Brits and the Dutch and the French. And what France did was they just opened the doors. They said if you were, you know, French Nigerian, if you were a black guy or a brown guy that was a continental African that France had sometime had a colony where you're born, you were given French citizenship, and they just welcomed them in. They opened up the doors, and by golly, they came right in, and they haven't left.
Well, yeah, and when you consider the whole EU thing, which has been kind of a really bad idea since its inception. I mean, once they get in to that area, there are no travel bans in the EU. You know,
nope.
You can just go wherever you want. So they've just got a roving gang there running around wherever they're needed at. And there's a reason that countries are made the way they're made and laid out the way they're laid out. What do we say? Good border. Well, you know, cowboy saying, good fences make good neighbors. Well, it's kind of that way with borders.
One of the things that I guess I'm excited to hear, there's more and more people on these videos that you watch that are coming out from Europe, especially in England. And I mean, you know, strong English women and men, and they're putting it out there that multiculturalism is a failure. You know, that there is no multiculturalism. It's a lie that these people that are coming here are not Englishmen. They don't want to assimilate. You know, the culture, the cross-cultural experiments are failures. You know, we have become a divided nation. And I know over the last week or so, I have been hearing and watching different videos and social media, and there sure is a lot of talking. And we, as Americans, because we've experienced it most recently, you know, we throw around civil war a lot as far as a term. That's coming very much out of the UK right now. There are a lot of people talking about civil war and dividing up the nation, whether it comes to fruition or not, whether the enemy will allow that. Who knows? I don't know. But it sure seems like the problems that we have talked about here on Coffee and in the ministry over the last few years of what's happened in our southern border and our northern border with the invasion, I don't think it's a coincidence that when we stop and take a look outside of our own country, we realize this has happened everywhere. And one of the things that we don't talk enough about is, you know, we talk about the playbook and stuff, but on mainland Europe, in the UK, in Australia, in New Zealand, all of the westernized Anglo-Saxon nations, this is what has been going on over the last 2-3 decades, that there has just been mass immigration that has diluted the culture and torn apart the wealth of the country. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base on that. What do you guys think?
No, I don't think you're off base at all. I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's warfare. You know, it's You know, it's they're trying to destroy every part of white culture that we have all around the world. And you know, bringing these people in, I've seen the same thing like what you're talking about, is these videos of these British people. I was watching several of the British ones this week where, you know, these people are basically crying out saying, hey, this doesn't work, you know, and, you know, be careful. This has been a bad thing. They're talking about the crime rates. This went through the roof. It's destroying their societies. You know, their children aren't safe. There's nobody's basically safe around these guys, because that's what I mean. They're there to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know, what is it? They go out and you know, committing these murders, and the murder rate just has went astronomical. You know, and it's predominantly these I don't even know the demographics of what exactly that they are, but they're, you know, brown guys wielding swords or knives or any kind of weapon that they can get their hands on. And, I mean, it's just a bad deal.
Goodness, thank goodness England had that gun ban 30 years ago, huh?
Yeah, I know. You talk about the insanity of that. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. And that's exactly, you know, what they've done is they disarmed them, and then they bring in the enemy right into their own hometowns, you know, and then pay them to be there. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's insanity. You talk about just, I mean, absolute insanity. These people are not good people of society. I mean, they're not the people that you want there. It's not like bringing South Africaners over and putting them to work on farms or anything like that. These are
people that have on average IQ of like 80 coming out of Pakistan. And I'm not just pulling that out of my ear. I mean, that's stuff that is out there if you want to go find the information. I mean, the average Pakistani man that is immigrating. Pakistan is one of the larger demographics as far as nationalities that are in England. They carry an IQ of about an 80. They are not skilled professionals. They're not electricians. They're not plumbers. They're not masons. They're not people that are coming in that are they are unskilled labor that in the second generation has figured out how to suck off the tit of England's wealth, and that is how England has gotten into the shape that it's in now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
And the same thing has happened. The Turks in Germany did the same thing. That Germany had the guest arbeiter program, the guest worker program, in the mid 1980s. And they brought in a bunch of Turks. Well, it took one generation, because what Germany said was, you stay here 10 years, you pay your taxes, we'll make you German citizens. Well, as soon as they became German citizens, man, they started bringing in their family from Turkey. And guess what? There's no Turks that work anymore. They're all on the dole in Germany. The exact same thing happened there. I'm sorry, Jason, I cut you off.
No, I was going to say good information, but I've seen things in the past too, and I think that there's a lot of censorship that's going on things, because I think that, you know, we've talked quite a bit, and we'll probably end up talking about it today, but the Wrath of the Waken Saxon, you know, there's going to be a time when our people are going to say no, and praise God when that day happens. But
amen.
I think that there has been things that have happened over in UK and England and some of these different countries that they really try to cover up when people get, when they've had enough, and they go and they, you know, find a refugee camp or something like that, and they go in and they just burn it to the ground, or, you know, kill them. I think that there has been several things that have happened, and they don't want it to go viral, so they do their darndest to try to cover it up. and to make sure that it does not hit the news, that if it does hit the news, that it's scrubbed off of there, because I think that they know that that could be contagious. And they know that that day is coming when the Saxon begins to hate. And I believe that I believe that they understand that very well. And they're very worried about that day coming.
I agree 100%.
Well, you know, when you regard this, I mean, of course, this word racist is batted around constantly now. But in essence, if you really start, you know, looking at the whole scheme going on out there, the calling someone a racist because they don't want to be genocided by you is, you know, you can look at the before and after shots. I mean, at some point, they're making their own case of why we don't want them there. You know, I mean, it's like, let's see, before peace, tranquility, prosperity, order of law, safety and security. And after you guys come in and start raising all your stink, all those things went away. And racism is not the same thing as genocide. You know, I mean, it's like, and that's what they want to do. They want to genocide everybody who doesn't fall into their little category. So it's like, yep.
I'll be a smart aleck for just a second. You know, there was a time, the saying that was known around the world was, the British Empire was so large, right? The sun never set on the British Empire. Somewhere in the world, the sun was shining on the British Empire. Now there are so many brown people and black people in England, the sun never rises. It's just dark there all the time. and it didn't take long to get there. This was very, very quick. Very, very quick. But Jason, you're right. I mean, as we've been talking this morning, I've been staring at a copy of The Wrath of the Waking Saxon hanging up on my wall, and you know, that's 108 years old now. You know, that was written in 1917, and whether it was intended that way or not, it sure became a piece of prophecy. And I know just watching some of these videos that have been out there, that's sure what I've been thinking is those people sure seem like they're awake to me, or at least they're waking up. That's for doggone sure.
I think so too. And it's sad that they had to get to this point, because these people right now that are crying out are the same people that were welcoming them in, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. So I think that there has been an awakening over there, but they've had to go through some really hardships to get to that point.
Well, I think that's kind of the story of Israel, huh?
Man, yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not like they weren't warned either. You know, they've been, people were saying, don't give up your guns. Don't do this. Don't do that's, you know, I mean, look at the historical, this isn't the first time things like this have happened. You know, it's not like some new thing. And they were told, they were warned that there's been some people out there all across the world, not just here, but all over that have said, this is a really bad idea, guys. And, now they're finding out why.
Well, and I've talked to people over there in UK and England and London and you know, a lot of different places over the years, and you know, talking to them, and I'm like, you would think that would be a place that, and I always thought that, you know, that would be a place where people would know their heritage, know who they are, and you know, understand a lot of the things that, you know, that we talk about, you know, a covenant people and stuff like that. And talking with people, they say that, you know, they say the history is all around us. We've got it, and it's looking at us in the face every day. And they say that people are so blind to it that they have absolutely zero understanding on that. So that just tells me that the enemy has been effective, you know, in trying to get people to forget their heritage. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, we're working really hard on trying to push, is knowing who our heritage is and who our people are. And it's important. And, you know, we can't let that be forgotten.
One of the things you're describing there, Jason, is kind of what Tim talks about quite a bit, and that's that asymmetrical kind of multi-front war, you know. And when what we've really discussed here is, you know, one aspect of the war is the disarming of our people, And not only that, but what you're describing about not knowing your heritage, that's disarming of another kind. You know, that's the intellectual disarming of the people. And you start breaking this apart of the things that incrementalism that is so rampant, that's so prevalent of communism and of the Jewish power and control of what they do, using communism and socialism and social programs and that sort of thing, of the infiltration of the school system, the infiltration of the university system, the infiltration of the medical system to dumb us down with pharmakia and all of the, and you look at it in totality, because you know we ask ourselves, you know, rhetorically, or you know, when we're visiting with each other, how did we get here so quick? Well, we got here so quick because the spider web, the tentacles, went into every aspect of our lives, and they were able to get just a little bit of control. And that is how very quickly, very rapidly, you can convince a whole nation of people, yeah, it's okay to bring in 250,000 of brown people every year they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, they don't eat like you, they don't smell like you, they don't go to church like you, they don't do any of this. But don't worry, you can be neighbors. It'll be okay. It's the Christian thing to do. I don't want to speak for you fellows, but I think we'll agree the majority of this didn't come out of a government hall somewhere. It didn't come out from Parliament. The majority of the acceptance of this came out from the pulpits in places like London and places in Germany and France, where the controlled church convinced our people that in order to be a good Christian, we have to open our arms to these people that are nothing like us, that are strangers to us. And that's a seed that was sown a long time ago. And we are seeing the fruit of it now, the fruit test, like Tim talks about.
Well, and I think that the other thing I think, and it goes along with what you said, Will, is the fact of these, we've got all these low IQ, let's call them foot soldiers, that are in here mm-hmm. doing this work. So obviously they didn't think this up. So, you know, the challenge for listeners and thinking people everywhere is to discover, ferret out, who are the thinkers with the high IQs? Because, you know, you're not seeing them, but they're there because these processes aren't something that are thought up by, you know, people with an IQ of 80. So it's,
correct.
You know, like Peter used to say, let's you and him fight, but the third party's not, you know, you don't see them. So there's
right.
that. It goes on.
Well, Tim, over the years, I've been quite the boxing fan. I've enjoyed boxing. I like classic boxing. I like boxing going back into the 30s and Maximilian Schmel and Bear and all of these guys that were great boxers, great American boxers, great German boxers back in the day. And you will find that most of the preeminent boxers in the golden age of boxing were Americans and Germans. But the more preeminent boxing promoters were Jews. And I'll just leave it at that. Mm. They know how to start a fight and how to promote a fight, but they rarely get in the ring.
That's interesting.
That's very, very apt, isn't it?
Sorry.
Well, the truth is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they made $1 million off them. So that's...
And a lot of the boxing guys broke.
Yes. So. And stupid and broke. The boxers died stupid and broke because they were taken advantage of, and the promoters kept getting rich. Anyways.
Well, that's kind of still going on today on a whole bunch of different fronts. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I seen that Israel hit Syria this week, again with another, I don't know, a whole bunch of bomb drops. And then I seen also that the Israeli leaders are calling for the president of Syria to be assassinated. And it's like, okay, wow.
Well, I think that's funny because it was less than 6 months ago. I think it was back in October, November, if you remember, Israel were the ones supporting this guy to be the new president of Syria.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's convenient.
What happened there? They had this, you know, this short-lived love affair with this Syrian president. What happened to get them to completely cut ties, where all of a sudden that they're wanting this guy assassinated now? What did he do against Israel?
I think his usefulness is gone, Jason. I think it's
what it was talking about,
that, you know, you get low IQ brown people that'll do what you're asking them to do, and once they're done doing it, you don't want them to get too much power, because now they're kind of in control of a military of a country, so you take them out and put the next guy in. I think that's, I don't know, maybe I'm off base there.
Cadum fodder.
Well, yeah. I think there's another angle on this, or another that I'm looking at too, and I don't disagree with what you're saying at all. Well, you're absolutely right. They just use people, and when they're used up, they're discarded. But the other thing is if you look at all these fronts that the Israelis are jumping into, you know, Syria, Lebanon, you know, all at the same time, I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure. We're just talking about fight promotion. And I think that's, they're doing just what they did for the boxers. It's this promotion to, they make huge amounts of money over there off of war in that region, and off of political dissent, and off of all these factions fighting each other. And that's, I mean, they're just doing the whole blender thing, you know, they're just going to go out there and it doesn't really matter. We're just going to stir it all. We can't have peace in this region because there will be no reason for us to get paid or for us to get, you know, when you consider that well over 80% of all the Israelis don't work, they live off government subsistence. When you consider the fact that that state over there doesn't make any money and doesn't have any money, where does it come from? Well, it comes from us. You know, I mean, it comes from the German reparations that are still being paid for things that probably didn't happen. And when you look at all that, they have to keep that pot boiling all the time in order to, you know, get their groceries off of it. I mean, in order to get the money, in order to get the outcome. So it doesn't really matter what way they jump, as long as it creates dissent, stirs things up, and keeps the money, the purse strings loose. And think of the pressure that's being brought against or toward America to jump in there and do something, you know, because you're our ally. What about, so, I mean, there's another, that may not be the sole and whole reason, but it certainly plays into it, I think.
Well, Tim, what you just said, I think, is a great witness to Scripture, too, because while you were talking and really eloquently laying out what they do over there to just keep creating war and chaos, I immediately went back to Genesis 27 and 40, where, you know, Esau, Edom, we were told they were going to live by the sword all of their days, and they're not going to know peace. And that's really what's happening here. They continue just to live by the sword in everything that they do. I mean, just a militant society as far as their government, their people. You know, I'm not really sure there is an ally of Israel. You know, I guess we're told that we're the ally of Israel. We know what happened with the Liberty. You know, I don't really consider us to be allies of Israel, but they're kind of at perpetual war with everybody. And that really just proves out the validity of that scripture, that they're just going to live by the sword. That made me think of something else. I'm transitioning real fast, but I just want to ask, you know, we're all familiar with Dwight Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, and when he was leaving office, his farewell speech, and he told us to beware of the military-industrial complex. And we know what that means, but do you think he was telling us to beware of Israel as well? Because they had just came into power as a nation, as a fledgling nation. What are your thoughts on that? It just occurred to me. It's kind of off base. I just wanted to ask.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're right. I believe that that's 100% accurate.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Tim.
The timings were definitely right, and it. He was definitely trying to give a message. That's for sure.
Yeah, say something without without being too pointed for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah,
man, yeah.
We definitely. I mean, according to some of the past prime ministers and some of their rabbis, we're just useful idiots over here. That's the words they use to describe us. So, ally is not a word they use unless it's at a table that, you know, is convenient to make us, you know, preen our feathers for the rest of the world. Like, oh, you know, so
yeah.
Speaking collectively. Yeah.
We're just goy. Yeah, we're just animals. Just goy. You know, Jason, before we move on from this topic, it's interesting to me the area that all of this latest stuff is going on in Syria. It's just outside of Damascus where Israel's hitting. But one of the reasons or justifications that they're doing this is they're saying they're protecting the Druze population, D-R-U-Z-E. And if anybody's looked into the Druze, you know, these are I don't know how to even – they are very, like, esoteric Kabbalists. Like, they're wicked people. I don't know. I don't know how much y'all know about them. But
I don't know hardly anything about them. It's something that it's actually a fairly new word to me, and I didn't know anything about them until just recently, and I started looking into it, and I still don't. So, yeah, no, educate us on that.
I don't know how much I can. Maybe Tim could do it better than me, but I know they are not what you would consider to be a traditional Judeo-Jewish religion. They're certainly not Jewish people necessarily. And the best thing I can come up with is they're kind of a hodgepodge of a lot of esoteric religions, and they're very cultish. And it doesn't make sense to me that the Jewish state would latch onto them other than just an excuse. Tim, I mean, do you know any more than I do on that?
Not really. It's just a melting pot philosophy, you know, philosophy as far as I know. Their main tenets are, you know, unity, I think, one God or unity of God, but then they also believe in reincarnation. And there's... You know, they came out of Islamism, so, but they don't identify as Muslims. I mean, that's to me, it's like, well, okay. You know, and the other thing I think a lot of times is I think some of this stuff, back to the optics, I think some of these things are given to us as, I've never heard of these people in the past to speak of. Of course, I'm not a Middle East expert or anything, but, you know, the simple fact of the matter is it's just some wag the dog creation in order to justify horrific things that you want to do, you know, and pull at the heartstrings of the uninitiated. I mean, to me, that's a very big possibility. It's like, well, let's just roll this all up and make a giant cinnamon roll on all these religions, and we'll protect them. So, yeah, whatever. You know, it's a strange thing. I mean, they're definitely not Christian from what I can see.
No, I'm pretty sure that they're not that. Yeah. I wouldn't claim them as Christians. I seen an article that came, one of you men sent it over, but it says shocking confession. Israel supported Al Qaeda in Syria, says the ex Mossad chief. And this is Ephraim Halevi revealed that Israel provided weapons and support to Al-Qaeda affiliated groups in Syria, drawing widespread criticism. And as you read this, it's like, okay, you know, haven't we been fighting Al-Qaeda supposedly for years? And, you know, just the insanity, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, they're going to support Al-Qaeda over there. What? But they're not going to support them over in Iraq or Afghanistan or, you know, anything like that. It's like, okay, it's the same group of enemies. And I mean, just the insanity of it. I mean, it's just like, it's like, okay, it's like, this is just nuts. It's like you're reading a comic book sometimes.
Yeah.
Jason, can I have permission to go off for a couple minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. Take her away.
Okay. Al-Qaeda is one of these things. It really, when I really started becoming awake, some of it was because of the Middle Eastern wars that were going on 20 plus years ago, and really realizing this, and it's interesting to me. I was just having this conversation this week, if y'all haven't thought about this, but it's interesting to me that if you look at the CIA that we have now, the CIA was developed post-World War II. During the World War II period, we had something called the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS. It was kind of the first iteration of the CIA. Post-World War II, in the late 40s, very early 50s, we got the modern CIA, which coincidentally formed at the same time as the Israeli Mossad, after the Israelis said they were a nation now in 1948. So you have arguably the two most powerful intelligence agencies in the world that formed at about the same time. And there are a lot of folks out there that are smarter than me that says that's not a coincidence, that they basically operate the exact same way. And I'm going to make a point about what you just said with Syria and Al-Qaeda and all that. So I'm just kind of setting the groundwork here that when we talk about our CIA, we might as well say Mossad. And when we talk about Mossad, we might as well say CIA, because they're pretty much the same thing. So in the late 1970s, we were told that Russia was the enemy. We were very much anti-communist, anti-Red Russia, and that was the enemy at the time. And if we remember, because we have short-term memories, Russia went into Afghanistan. And the reasons that they went into Afghanistan are neither here nor there. They went into Afghanistan and started a 10-year war with Afghanistan. Strangely enough, Al-Qaeda, they were originally called the Mujahideen. And the Mujahideen, that means freedom fighters. Well, the Mujahideen were created by the United States government. This is not conspiracy theory. This is congressional record. All of this is declassified. They just don't tell you. It's kind of like what we were talking about a second ago, Jason, like you were talking about the hotels burning in London. And that's fact. That's real. We just don't hear about it because they don't want you to know. They want us to be fat, dumb, and clueless. So the Mujahideen was funded by the United States government through the CIA and through some cutout companies. They were trained here. When I say here, I mean like in my backyard, like an hour and a half from me, down in Seguin, Texas, in Schertz, Texas, over in El Paso at Fort Bliss. And we absolutely gave them an operational budget. We absolutely equipped them and trained them here in the United States. And they were led by a fella from Saudi Arabia, big, tall raghead. We probably remember him as Osama bin Laden, who absolutely was in Texas for about 18 months being trained, because he came from a construction family, a multimillion-dollar construction family in Saudi Arabia. And that family was tied with the Bush family in something called Abusto Oil here in Texas, where they had fields in Saudi Arabia as well. And the construction company that kind of was overseeing the construction of these oil wells were the Bin Laden family. This is, please, somebody fact check me on this. I'm not misleading anyone on this. Okay. It's too convenient, but it's true. So the Bin Laden family was in business with the Bush family, with El Busto Oil, that was based out of Houston, Texas. And they were in the Saudi Arabian oil fields along with Kelly Brown and Root there in Saudi Arabia. So these people were all known to each other. Well, remember, George Bush Sr. was the director of the Central Intelligence Service in the late 1970s. And he absolutely, using a congressman out of Texas here named Charlie Wilson, they formed the Mujahideen to fight Russia in Afghanistan. So when we talk about Al-Qaeda, remember, Al-Qaeda, we formed Al-Qaeda. We used Al-Qaeda to fight the Russians. And when the Russians withdrew, was all the United States. So all of the Stinger missiles that we were taking down Russian helicopters with in the mountains of Afghanistan, well, guess what? They used those same Stinger missiles against us when we went there in 2001. So less than 10 years after the Russians withdrew, we said they came and took down these towers, these Al-Qaeda folks, and now we have to go to war with them. But nobody ever bothered to say, Al-Qaeda, we created. Well,
right,
when Al-Qaeda was decimated and eliminated, they got rebranded because they got moved to Iraq and northern Iraq, and they became ISIS. Well, I got news for you. ISIS is USIS. We created them, too. And it just, it's different iterations over the years. So you went from Mujahideen to Al-Qaeda, and now Al-Qaeda to ISIS. It's the same folks that we keep shuffling around a chessboard and using to create chaos. And it's being done by the Mossad, and it's being done by the CIA. So we have to be very skeptical when we look at this and realize there is really no homegrown raghead terrorists. There really isn't. It is all controlled. And it's being controlled by our government and other governments. And the only other thing I'll point out, I just want to throw this out there too, is once again, I love for people to fact check me on this, but Osama bin Laden's brother died in a plane crash in Shirts, Texas. And this is an absolute fact. It happened in the middle 90s. And they were here flying out of a military base in San Antonio, and a plane went down, and they were using aliases where their last name was Osment, O-S-S-M-E-N-T. And these were aliases given to them by the CIA. And Osama bin Laden's brother, who was a commander in the Mujahideen, his plane went down in Shirts, Texas, outside of San Antonio, and he was killed. And none of this gets reported. Nobody really knows this story, but so
what
whenever
was it,
I see
how did the plane go down? Do you have any idea? Was it shot down or is it
unknown?
Okay. So yeah,
unknown, Jason. unknown.
Another one of those.
I will tell you. Yeah, there was a lot of defection. There is no doubt that I think the bin Laden family felt screwed. I think Al-Qaeda felt screwed because they were pretty much abandoned after the Russian conflict. So there's no doubt in my mind that there were probably some hard feelings toward the United States there. I think they were used up, like we were talking about earlier, like some old whore. And when they lost their usefulness, we turned our backs on them. Interestingly enough, the same thing happened with Saddam Hussein. In the late 1950s, early 1960s, the Ba'ath Party in Iraq were the minority, and the CIA infiltrated the country of Iraq and actually lifted up the Ba'ath Party, and Saddam Hussein was a CIA asset that was used for, 40 years almost by the American government. Remember, we had a 10-year war that we proxied between Iraq and Iran, where we hated Iran and Iraq was our best friend that we used to fight Iran until we didn't want to do that anymore. And less than 10 years later, we went to war with Iraq. So just remember, Saddam Hussein also was our ally until one day we decided we didn't want him to be. So I guess the moral of the story is if you're in a foreign country somewhere and you're brown and somebody from the CIA says, we want to help you, walk away.
I think that's an excellent summary of it. I know I've read a lot of different bits and pieces, but you summarized it very well. Reader's Digest version of a lot of things that happened over a 10-year period. Fantastic.
All political theater.
Because I remember talking with Pastor Peters about it, and it was like, what's an Al-Qaeda? I mean, it's like, okay. I mean, all of a sudden they started throwing that word around like everybody should know what an Al-Qaeda is. And it's like, what is an Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
That's the latest iteration of, and the thing is, I think it bears saying that the reason that immigration is such a hot topic these days, by the way, it was an extremely hot topic in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were going into the Promised Land, and everything else. It was like God had some really heavy-duty immigration laws, if you want to call it that, for them going in to take that over. And the reason it's a big deal is this religion or ideology that we're dealing with over there is an expansionist religion. An expansionist ideology. If it can't expand constantly, if you sequester those people and isolate them amongst themselves, there's no survival rate. They don't have the ability to continue to make a civilization that self-sustains. They're parasitical. They have to have war. They have to have assets that are created by someone else to, you know, to use. So basically, if you want to fight back, arms isn't necessarily the right way, because that causes, it's like fertilizing your garden. I mean, if you want to defeat them, all you have to do is make them live amongst themselves. They don't last very long that way, because, you know, they eat themselves. So
what you're saying, Tim, is by design, I don't want to say this is what you're saying. I don't want to put words in your mouth. What I'm hearing is there are certain groups of people that that need westernized overseers to create infrastructure like hospitals and electricity in order to survive. And if those people aren't present, then everything goes to pot.
Pretty much. Okay. And another way of putting it that would sound a little less racist in today's ideology would be, they just need Jesus. You know, if you follow his rules,
there you go.
He says, if you follow my rules, you benefit. Those are the benefits from following his rules. So if you go the other way, you're destroyed. So it's simple. You know, either get on your knees or disappear from the face of the earth. That's how that works. And that's the, you know, Cliff Note version. It's like, well, there you go.
Yes. So, I guess moving on, we'll go to South Africa. Government on high alert after intelligence confirmed military coup plot. I've read the headlines, but that's about as far as I got into that one.
Yeah, there is a high-ranking general who will probably find himself unalive if he keeps speaking out the way he's speaking out. But there is a high-ranking general there in the South African Defense Forces who, interestingly enough, is a carryover from the old apartheid regime 30-plus years ago. He's been around, and there is a lot of rumor and intelligence swirling that he's had enough. And there is a growing movement behind this guy to unseat, overthrow, whatever, the ruling ANC, the African National Party there, the communists that are there, kind of going along with what we've been talking about. There may be some truth to this. I think there is enough coverage of it that it's obviously there's something to it, but I don't believe that it's homegrown. I don't believe it's very organic. I believe it's probably being pushed from the outside. And quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if it's our own nation that's pushing this, just with all of the interest that has been shown to South Africa from the United States government. So it's something to watch for sure. You start hearing about coups and stuff in foreign countries, that typically means it's either happened or it's coming.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was interesting in that article where it talked about the government has urged citizens to remain calm. What that really means is that they're not calm. So, there's some unrest over there. Imagine that.
Stay calm. Don't load your mags yet. This isn't real. Watch some TV.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
Exactly. They do a really good job at that too. And you know, to me, it's like, and everything that we've been talking about, it's like the spell's being broken. There's people that are waking up, and that's one of the encouraging things that I see. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, it sounds like it's bad stuff, but I think it's a really good sign when we're seeing these things, because I really believe that people are waking up, you know, all across the world.
Yes.
Don't you feel that way?
I think it's exciting.
I think it is too.
I do too.
I'm excited about it. I mean, excited about it. It's like, yeah, this something needs to happen in South Africa, and we need to get another interview with Simon Roche here, hopefully soon. I know that he's wanted to do that. That's something that it's just everything's been crazy.
Yeah.
But we'll try to get that put together and get another one of those. He just that was a fantastic interview.
Simon Roche from the Sidelanders in South Africa. And I'm sure that he can shed some light on some of the stuff that's going on over there. So we'll try to get him here on the network here shortly and see if we can't do something with him. But, yeah, I mean, you see that you see these things when they're – I mean, it's like it's a mess over there. It needs fixing. Something needs to change because if things keep going the direction that they are going in South Africa – white people are going to be completely annihilated. I mean, they're going to be wiped off the continent. It's they're going to be gone. And you know, I mean, it's genocide that's taking place over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, and as people wake up, That's an opportunity for us to pray for God to continue to open eyes, minds, and hearts, because the path forward, you know, I guess I don't know if you want to call it resistance or revolution, is a dangerous time because it needs to be steered by God and by godly precepts, or you can end up with really either the same thing or something worse. You know, I mean, it's and God definitely has plans for that. So we should have that in our prayers constantly, that His will's done.
Yeah.
I'll jump on what Tim said, too, there, and especially South Africa. There's other places across the country. I could very easily say that this for the Ukraine and other places right now. But in our prayers for our brothers and sisters that are in these places like South Africa, we should remember, too, just to pray for their safety when they're going to church, because right now in South Africa is what comes to mind. But like I said, the same thing's happening to Ukraine at the Orthodox Church there. Going to church is a very dangerous prospect in some areas. Wednesday night prayer services, Sunday morning services, Sunday evening services, that in many situations in South Africa, it's almost like crossing a gauntlet, going through a gauntlet to be able to get to your church. And in many instances, the churches in South Africa have contracted with security services, and their own parishioners are very heavily armed, because when you have church services, especially the white church services with the Afrikaners there and the remaining English that are there, there's money there, you know, with tithes and offerings. And there are a lot of underreported robberies that take place in churches there, and it's a routine event. It's a routine crime where in the middle of a church service you have a gang of Africans that are coming in and robbing the tithe, and in many cases guys are, you know, assaulting the people that are the parishioners that are in the church. So we do, when we talk about the white genocide there, we need to remember there is a real attack on the church too. There is a real attack on the church. Church attendance has fallen as a result of this. And we need to remember that. And also in the Ukraine, there's a lot of, by the Ukrainian government, you know, read into that whatever you want to, but by the Ukrainian government, there is a lot of targeting of the Orthodox Church there, where we have churches that are getting burned to the ground. We have churches that are getting shelled. We have Orthodox priests that are being arrested. We have parishioners that are being arrested. You know, they've pretty much outlawed the attendance of Orthodox churches there, and we need to remember those Christians. And, you know, their theology may not be exactly like ours are, but they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to pray for them.
I agree 100%, and I encourage people, do keep those people in your prayers. I know that they could use it. They've asked for it, and it's, you know, they're dealing with an awful lot. So I agree with you.
Well, and just a kind of a side note, it's a little bit off track as far as that goes, but when you look at the connection between the Ukraine and some of this Israeli thing going on, you know, in Europe and all of the upheaval in there, one of the things that's interesting is if you take the time and do a little bit of research, you're going to find out that practically all of the prime ministers of the Israelis they came from Ukraine. Not all, some of them came from East Eastern Europe. But the point is they all have different names. I mean, it goes clear back to Menachem Begin. He was Ukrainian. I mean, when you start to look at that, so that's a connect the dots moment. You can kind of look back to some of that and see it. And they got their fingers in all kinds of pies. So anyway.
It goes back to the beginning, Tim. You know, when you sent that out and I started looking into it, I was gobsmacked, man. Ben Gurion, who was, you know, the first prime minister, he's the George yeah. Washington of Israel. He's a Ukrainian yeah. Jew. And none of these people can lay birthright to that land mass itself. You know, they were all somewhere else. They were all Ukrainians or Poles or whatever. They're the invaders.
Yeah.
I just want to point yeah. that out. So, they're the immigrants.
Yeah. And if you look at the fact that if you wonder what the connection is there with the Israelis, the Ukrainian, and then they've got us peddling all of this paper on and aid on all these different outfits, it starts to paint you a picture there that will help you to understand what's going on a little better. So definitely worth looking into.
I know we're getting to the bottom of the hour, but while we circled back to this, did y'all get a chance to take a look at Mike Huckabee, the ambassador to Israel, penning a letter saying that Israel is not welcoming Christians?
Yes,
maybe
I did.
We can talk about that for just a minute. I thought that was pretty huge.
Especially when you consider he's a major Israelite
yes.
supporter. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, wait a minute. Yeah, it makes me chuckle. I mean, it's like, oh, you just noticed the man. So, yeah, for sure.
No, they're good. Go ahead, Tim.
We're just going to declare Israel is not welcoming Christians. I mean, you don't want to let us in, you know, and treat them good. Wham.
Well, and you know what's funny is a lot of the people think that, and, you know, Judeo-Christians really believe that if you go over there that and talk to these Jews, that these Jews are just in love with Jesus and that they're Christians. And it's like, no, it's nothing like that. They hate Christians. They spit on the name of Jesus Christ. They absolutely despise Christians. You know, and people really, I've talked to a lot of them and they have no idea that, that's a fact.
Yeah.
If people don't believe us, spend the money, go stand on the street corner in Tel Aviv with some pamphlets and tracts, telling people the good news about Jesus Christ and see how long you get to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah.
You don't have to go that far. I mean, you can go to, I don't know if, I seen
New York.
Some stuff. Yeah, exactly. New York.
Yeah.
Or even just, I mean, get on Rumble and look at some of the videos. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, it's yeah. shocking. I mean, you see them and it's like somebody that's trying to, you know, somebody that they think is a Christian or believes a Christian. I mean, anything from these Jews walking by, it doesn't matter their age, from little children to old men and women, spitting on people that they, you know, have anything to do with Christianity, across anything like that. They absolutely despise it and they hate it. So,
yep.
Yeah, but we are at the top of the hour. Right. We're going to take a break.
Oh.
Folks, did you have something you wanted to go with real quick?
No.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. We'll be right back after the song. Stay tuned, folks.
There's a spirit in our land raising up the kind of man with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who love their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights, granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through jury guard our liberty. They called the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty.
Such preacher men today show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God.
Jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit
for a people who love their liberty. For a people who will die for liberty.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And I've got the men back on the line. We're here for hour number two. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
There is a lot of stuff going on. Flooding all over the United States. The floods have been just absolutely crazy. And it looks like the flood down there in Texas, I mean, it kind of got under control. And then I seen that there was more rain headed your direction. What's the status on that, Will?
There was another pretty big rain band that moved through. It's moved out. It's looking like now the 10-day forecast is looking dry for that hill country area, so that's really going to help them. Just as a quick update on that, I found out some information late yesterday afternoon coming out of the sheriff's office, the Kerr County Sheriff's Office there. They internally, not the national media, but they themselves, the authorities there on the ground in Kerr County, says that the numbers now that are missing are 19. They're saying they're down to 19 unaccounted for now, which is fantastic, considering it was, you know, just a few days ago they were still up around 130. So that's good news if in a very tragic situation, But yeah, man, looking at the country, you know, looking at some rain maps, it's New York and New Jersey and Virginia and North Carolina and Missouri. I mean, just all over, everywhere. I don't recall this much flooding across the country at one time. I don't know about y'all.
Well, and our weather here in Colorado and Wyoming has been just crazy because we've had rain. We had some record-breaking heat. It just seemed like a couple days ago, like it was a week ago, and then these rains came in, and it's been raining almost every day, and raining and thunderstorms in the middle of the night, just where
just, I mean, it's coming down. I don't know how much rain we got, but you go outside and it's like, I mean, there's mud puddles all over the place. It's like, where'd that come from? You know, or I got up, been up almost every night because I hear, you know, it's been waking me up, and I get out and I look out and it's like, yeah, it's raining. It's really coming down. It's been all over. It's just kind of different. It is different. It's very different. I mean, Tim, you've had that stuff. You had some rains over there that it just came down. I mean, what you guys got like 3/4 of an inch in just like no time.
Yeah, like 15, 20 minutes. And then we got 2 or 3 inches in a couple hours. And, you know, then one day it's a high of 79 and the next day it's a high of 109. I mean, it's like it's uncharacteristic. Let's put it that way. I realize that weather is weather, but this is uncharacteristic for this time of the year. And with that being said, I think it's interesting that there's, you know, RFK Jr. came out and was talking about Bill Gates manipulating U.S. weather, and they're one to arrest him. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, some of the comments in there were, as regarded Texas particularly, were that the patterns in the storm's behavior were unnatural. They got, you know, recorded sky signatures that are basically match previously documented aerosol injection events, to use their words. Surveillance footage shows unmarked aircraft operating over the target region hours before the rainfall spike, with all the flight paths scrubbed from public radar archives. And, you know, then they go into it from an atmospheric point of view, and it shows the data sets in the atmospheric show thermal anomalies coinciding with artificial aerosol dispersal zones. Sensor logs from military-grade weather stations indicate electromagnetic pulses. That's probably HARP or related devices used to steer and intensify storm systems. And environmental samples recovered post-flood reveal aluminum, barium, and strontium concentrations far above natural levels. And that's kind of a classic, you know, chemtrail brew. But this was all being done. I mean, they currently have a chemtrails task force out there. They're not saying much right now. Supposedly they're continuing to investigate this, but it certainly makes one wonder. I mean, I think you'd have to be. And the point is, when they try to do this stuff, it's never for good. It always is. It creates events just like what we're looking at. Pandemonium and, you know, uncontrollable. God's way is a lot different. So it's, and they're setting themselves up as gods. Is it legit? I don't know. I mean, but it certainly gives one a little bit of a, could be, you know, that thing. Because why wasn't there more warning? Why wasn't there more anything else? I mean, as a nation, we spend millions and millions of dollars on weather, you know, forecasting and on looking these models over and everything else. And this was not something, as I understand it, that was characteristic in any of their models or anything else. And it's that way in North Carolina. It's that way in New Mexico. It's that way in New Jersey. And, you know, but they do have these flags that show up prior to that going on. So, you know, I mean, we got people out there want to play God all the time. So, and it kind of takes us back to the Guidestones thing, just in case anybody's wondering, which we've talked about before.
Tell us about that, Tim.
On the Georgia Guidestones?
The Georgia Guidestones. I know they're gone now, but, I mean, tell us, actually, what do you mean by the, for those, for those folks that maybe don't know what the Georgia Guidestones are up there in Elberton, tell us about it.
I think Jason ought to talk about that personally. I defer to him. He's got a lot more information on it than I do. Something messed up.
Yeah, we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. We got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, Richard, can you hear me?
Hey, Warren, we're here.
Okay, I just called and saying that Well, Vietnam kept safe up here from the tornadoes.
Well, good.
I think some of this maybe from the act of God. You know how people went nuts during the Great Dust Bowls, you know, back in the 30s?
Yes.
Maybe we're going through the opposite of flood period now instead. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Good point. Very good point.
Good point.
Yeah, we're supposed to have flooding today here, but we haven't had any of the flooding, like you said. I got a phrase before the call. Contact my nephew in Indiana yesterday. He didn't get flooded.
Good. Praise the Lord.
God bless him.
Yes, indeed. Well, Warren, thanks for the call. And, folks, it's as simple as that. 970-224-4203. That number again is 970-224-4203. And, yeah, Tim, what were you saying about the Georgia Guidestones?
Well, was just saying a little more information on them, and I said I would defer to you because you have more expertise on them than I do. I probably lost something up, but, you know, it's worth talking about. I mean, as far as the depopulation element and all that, but, you know, that seems to be, it's kind of like we need to depopulate who's here and repopulate with someone else. we had talked about the Guidestones before.
Yeah, we have. And I don't want to go in there right now. I mean, I don't know. We could do a whole show on that, so we'll just not go there right now. I did see one of the interesting things was I didn't even realize how big these autism clinics had gotten. And I seen it in Minnesota is where I guess they're really under scrutiny right now and under investigation. They said that I guess they've been over the last decade, they've distributed nearly $700 million. And people are asking the question now is, what do these places do and what are they doing besides just giving money out? And there's an audit going on, and they said that I guess 85 of them so far was the last number that I heard, and I guess it's growing like crazy, that are being investigated for fraud, which, yeah, I mean, it's like, what do you expect? Minnesota's is a mess right now. But I didn't even realize that they had these autism clinics up there and how big that they were. I mean, they said that there's hundreds of them. So it's I don't know. Do they have those everywhere? Is that just something that I haven't heard of?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
No, me either.
Yeah. So maybe it's just a Minnesota thing, or maybe it's a state by state thing, but I don't know. It was, I'm glad that they're getting investigated, but the thing is this autism has become an epidemic in this country. And, I think that, I think the vaccination epidemic was one of the things that, started that. We don't need to go into that here in this program either, but I was encouraged by seeing these people that are really, speaking out against these autism clinics and saying that, hey, there's something wrong here. We need to do something. So, yeah, interesting. Looking at what's going to happen the rest of this summer, I don't know. I think that, as we move on, the enemy just never gives up. They continue to fight away and fight and fight and fight and try to, sow seeds of dissension and cause division. And, basically, I mean, their MO is divide and conquer. And it looks like we've got some more protests getting ready for this summer.
They're coming. Yeah.
They've got a lot of that stuff going on, don't they? I mean, they've even got websites up on there, how to find a protest, and they're calling it, Get in Good Trouble or something, or Good Trouble Protest. I seen something. They were talking about bringing protests to rural America, it's okay, guys. We don't feel left out. Thanks.
Yeah, you guys can keep that in Chicago and in California, downtown LA and stuff like that. We really don't need it out here.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
You know, they keep, you know, I don't know. It's kind of funny because I think that so many of these things they've tried to do, if they just fizzle out, and then they come up with this new, you know, this new punchline or this new word, and it's like, now, you know, we're strategically fighting authoritarianism, and it's like, okay, is that all you can come up with? I mean, it's like, hello, this is stupid. I mean, come on. And you know, they try to get these people to be patriotic, and I think that people sense that there's a problem. They don't know what the problem is, but they want to fight for something, but they don't even know what they're fighting for. They're very confused. Yeah. Is what it is, you know, and that's what happens when a people are separated from God. And they're separated from, you know, their God, and they have no idea who they are. That's, I mean,
yes, amen.
I think that that's one of the things is like, I mean, I think a lot of these people, it's like you look at them. I mean, they're messed up. They're, you know, indoctrinated. They've got, they live in front of a television. They believe everything that is spewed out of that television. They're completely programmed. But at the same time, they're seeing enough that they want to do something. They want to be a part of something, but they just don't even know what they want to be a part of. And it's you know, divide and conquer. I really think that that's, you know, part of what we're talking about as far as the asymmetrical warfare that's being taken place that Tim keeps talking about is, you know, we've got these people, and it's – you know, it's a godless society. I mean, you look at these people that want to run on this platform, and it's like, okay. I mean, it to me, it's just idiocracy.
Well, and when you look at the, I couldn't help but think while you were talking about those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it, and these people don't understand the premise or anything else that America was created on, or. Because they were never taught that. And I'm not, you know, you go back and look at the Christian religion. You look at the precepts of God. I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments, and you look at these things were all, that's patriotism. They've been sold this false lie that patriotism is all of this thing that's anti-God, and it's a melting pot, and it's multiple religions, and everyone's you know, living together in harmony, and there's no issues. And it's like, in what world has that ever happened historically? I mean, but they have this major disconnect between the actual historical concept or of what's going on. History's been revised, it's been shut down, no one has studied it, and without that, you don't have a premise on which to on what to base your vocabulary, you know. So they just hang this word on it and turn on the blender, you know, and start whipping it up to a frog. And so, of course, there's some who do know and do understand, like we were already talking about, their IQ's higher than 80. So, when you begin to see these things, it never does anything but lead to the destruction of a nation, you know. So that's where it's at.
Well, and I seen just some of the stuff that they're running on, mass deportations, rollbacks of civil rights, weaponized courts, and full scale attacks on our democracy. We don't have to wait until it's too late. We can stop this, but it'll take all of us, not just us on single days of mass action, but through sustained organizing in our communities. That's why this summer we're launching 1 Million Rising, a national effort to train 1 million people in strategic logic and practice of non-corporation, as well as the basics of community organizing and campaign design. This is how we build people power that can't be ignored. You're invited to join us and lead. And, you know... Okay, I mean, it just, wow. I mean, it's just, I don't even know what to say about it. I guess, you know, you don't really even need to say anything about it. It's just stupid. It's, you know, if, and
Well, Jason, go ahead, Will.
No, I just wanted to say, you know, we've talked about this in previous weeks, but looking at these websites, you know, websites are easy. I get it. But just I always go back to the logistics. You know, what Jason's describing is this is a online training seminar is what it is.
Right.
They have set this up in modules, you know, where there's session one and session two and session three. And it is an online program through social media of how to get trained up to fight authoritarianism, as they say. And they're doing this strategically across the country to have people in these rural areas and these small towns. You know, it's easy, I guess, to find a bunch of communist agitators if you're in Los Angeles or Chicago or Atlanta or Denver or something like that. But, you know, if you're in a smaller area, that really can't be exploited. And what this, to me, what I'm seeing this is a way to reach the impressionable, kind of like what Tim was talking about, the people that are, well, like what you said, Jason, idiocracy. You know, it's the people that got an itch, they just don't know how to scratch it. Well, the communists, these people are providing them a way to scratch it online. You know, they're giving them the tools for free of how to go out and agitate. And I think that it's beyond evil. But the main thing that I guess I keep going back to in my mind is, this is planned. You know, we were just a few weeks ago talking about what was happening in Los Angeles with the No Kings riots, and then we had the 4th of July stuff, and here we are 2 weeks later from 4th of July, and they've rolled out a complete new platform with all of these online seminars and sessions to gin up chaos across the country. It's not by accident. This stuff's canned. They have it ready to go, which means they have a plan. And the plan is there's more to come through the summer. And it's just, I almost thought to myself, I'm going to sign up for this. I'm going to sign up for it just to see what they got going on. And then I decided not to. I'm on too many mailing lists already. But I just thought that was go ahead, Jason.
I was reading an article on these upcoming protests, and one of them was from Public Citizen, is the name of the outfit. It's a nonprofit, but the co-president, Lisa Gilbert, said during an online interview that, quote, "We are navigating one of the most terrifying moments in our nation's history. We are all grappling with the rise of authoritarianism and lawlessness within our administration as the rights, freedoms, and expectations of our very democracy are being challenged." You know, and it's like, terrifying for who? You know, obviously.
Yes.
And then, you know, democracy, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. You know, I mean, there's all these little red light moments in quotes like that that tell us what's going on. It's like, yep, you're a pot stirrer. You know, I mean, that's all you want to do. They're worried about cuts to Medicaid. You know, you won't be able to get your fingernails or your eyebrows or eyelashes done anymore at your beauty salon because they won't take your whatever they call the SNAP credit nowadays. You know, there's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff that are like, people don't owe you. That's not the way we were designed. That's
right.
Not the way our country was. So, anyways.
We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hi, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Kevin in Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Kevin.
We had Lancaster County in Ohio yesterday had 6 inches of rain in a few hours.
Oh, wow. There a lot of damage because of it?
I didn't hear any more of the results.
Okay.
Number two, Tina Peters still isn't out of prison, is she?
No.
Oh. And another thing, when we were kids, we really loved listening to the boxing on the radio, like when Wood Patterson beat Ingemar Johansson, and then it went to Sonny Liston and stuff. And then Don King took over all the fighting, didn't he? He was a big promoter.
He was, and he was controlled, too.
Yeah, he was a control, yeah. And
he was.
I just read an article that Germany, by 2050, we'll have about 80% of the verse will be Muslims.
Wow.
So,
I've heard numbers similar to that too, Kevin, and yep. It's just it's like, you know, wow.
Yeah. And then lastly, I think we're gonna change. We're gonna have an inside revolution. Because, was it Tulsi Gabbard yesterday that she wants to lock up Obama, Comey, Clapper?
Yeah.
And who's that other
Jerome one? Powell, the head of the Fed.
Yeah, but those three that fabricated all the Russian hoax. So she's really open. She wants them in prison. Did you read her statements?
I did. Yes.
They're pretty forceful.
they are. I didn't see that one coming at all. That kind of blew me away. And it's like, you don't see Obama's the name in the headlines very often anymore. And it's like, whoa, this is going to get interesting.
Yeah, she's you know that literally that she wants them in prison. She wants them rotten in prison. I mean, just I think it's going to open up a new world for us. And I love it. Love it.
Kevin, I agree with what Jason was saying. I don't like seeing Obama's news in the headline anymore, but when it says criminal charges behind it, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't even like saying that name.
I don't either. I'm with you. I don't know. Yeah, I never thought about that, but you're right, Kevin. I think I feel the exact same way.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Barry Satoru, that's what it was. Yeah, Barry.
Yeah.
That's real joke name. He's all based on lies, fabrication, and crap. I just enjoyed listening to it, and you expanded them Saturday morning, and it makes my Saturday, makes my week. I just get to hear you. Thank you all.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you letting us know, and thank you for that. That means a lot to us, Kevin.
You're all welcome.
Absolutely.
God bless.
God bless.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And, well, thanks. Really appreciate that call, Kevin. But we're going to have to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back after this song.
That they use, it's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on, and it's
And we're back. And take it away, guys. I'll be right back here in just a minute.
Okay. Well, kind of picking up. Did we close out there on what we wanted, Will?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, and this rain thing. I was kind of going to go back to on the rain issue. I thought it was interesting that we've got. It follows along the same line, but we've got a big reminder: seismic activity along the Pacific Ring of Fire has just been increasing all over the place. I mean, we had a 7.3 in Alaska the other day, we've had several. There's been almost 50 volcanic eruptions this year. So, and we've got Mount Rainier up there. Mount Rainier's kind of going a little bananas too, as far as they've had over 800 earthquakes. They're microquakes, but in the last 30 days. So there's some, and that kind of falls back into a lot of this, I think, political geoengineering or, that's going on. I mean, but I think it's interesting that, I don't know if you're familiar with the Schumann resonance or not, but that number keeps on going up. But just a couple days ago, it was at 73, and I think normal's in the 50s. So, but that's kind of like the heartbeat of the Earth, they call it, the vibration of the Earth. And higher numbers result in health, healing, and better things. And I think that when we look, I mean, as long as it's not too high, then you get kind of hyperactive. But,
right.
But, you know, I think that that may be a sign to me, at least, that, you know, God's trying to heal the earth. I mean, I see these things as good things, you know. I see things coming up that we talk about people waking up all the time, and that some of that kind of stuff plays into it, I think. So
I think you answered a question I was going to have about the resonance there, Tim. And I was going to throw something else out at you, but I guess the way I understand what you're talking about is, you know, we're all an antenna, right? I mean, that's kind of that's where our bodies are set up in such a way to be antennas. Is that fair to say, Tim?
Yeah. We're all vibratory beings. I mean, that's
right.
God's science. Yeah. So,
and when we're in tune with God, so to speak, you know, there's kind of a natural frequency that we're designed to be in tune with God. Is that kind of fair to say?
I think so. I believe it is. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, there's a resonance.
No, I was just going to say.
Yeah. So. And resonance just continues to build. It's powerful. You know, I mean, so as we resonate with God's way of doing things, and again, the New Agers, some of them have kind of made that into, you know, whatever, but that's the science of the way God made things. I mean, science can be its own religion, but it was actually God's religion first.
You know? Sure.
Or part of God first.
Well, I'm back. I apologize for that. I had something that was trying to get into my daughter's chickens. And
two-legged or four-legged?
Yeah. Four-legged. Oh, and anyway, my chickens are very, very, very special to my daughter. And she wouldn't want to interrupt me off while we're on the radio, but it was one of those things that, let's just say that the problem is eliminated. So, so that's definitely a good thing. So, if anything happens to her chickens, it's a bad deal around here. Those are very, 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 very precious to her. She does a good job taking care of them, and they've been really good for her. So, anyway,
I want to point out that I've listened to a lot of talk radio. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, but I think Coffee may have just made history that this is the first time that the host ever had to step off air in order to eradicate a varmint. So that I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I was hoping to get the problem taken care of during that song, but it took a moment longer. So anyway, that's what happens when you're on live radio. But
at any given moment on coffee, things can get very rural.
Yes, so I like that.
Life
just got rural.
Yeah, absolutely. So, speaking of animals and that sort of thing, kind of going along, Tim, Jason, we were talking about the seismic activity going all around the world. And have y'all caught any wind? I don't know anything about it other than it just got passed on to me in a text message this morning that there's reports that animals are leaving the area of Yellowstone. In droves.
I've heard that. Yeah, okay. I heard yesterday on the radio about an elk herd that was just they said it was just headed out. I mean, just, you know, no rhyme or reason that they could come up with for that reason. And that's what I was wondering is, like, you know, is that thing getting ready to blow or something?
Well, yeah. And going along with what Tim was saying on the resonance, I just wonder, you know, I think we got 2 feet on the ground, right? They have 4 feet on the ground. I wonder if they're picking up something that we're not.
It's very possible. I mean, I've seen one, and I don't know whether it's true or not. I have no way to verify it, but I've seen they were having mountain lions and the like just walking down the highway, walking out of Yellowstone, you know, just leaving.
That's what I heard, too. Yeah. Yep.
So, and we all know from historical perspective that some of those animals are more attuned, birds and various animals are more attuned to that kind of stuff. So the canary in the coal mine comes to mind, you know, but there's others besides that. So it's entirely possible that there's some things going on. Anyways, it's a heads up moment, something to look at and be aware of. I don't think we need to be fearful. Our God rules, but I do think that it's worth keeping an eye on. So
sure.
So.
Well, and just a couple tips. I want to move on. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but wanted to tell people. So had a real exciting, you know, happy experience yesterday. Good, I guess a good experience. So a man called me. He started texting me, somebody that had been listening for a long time, a man from Missouri, and he was a truck driver and came through town, been texting me back and forth and wanted to set up a time to get to meet, and met him at the Fairfield Inn yesterday and baptized him for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was a man that, yeah, it was awesome. So we baptized him, me and a Christian brother, met down there and talked to him, had a good talk, good long conversation, really good time, really just salt of the earth, good man. Been listening for a long time, been wanting to get baptized, and so we made it happen. So we, baptized him down there at the Fairfield Inn, and gave him communion, and he partook of communion and was on his way. But it was encouraging, and this man had a heart for God and for the kingdom, and wanted to get baptized, wanted to go back down to Missouri, wanted to be equipped to be able to baptize other people down there if we ever needed somebody to baptize somebody down there. I thought that was really cool. It was something he'd been waiting a long time to do it. And we got it done. And it was neat because when we went into that pool, and it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you never know what kind of response you're going to get from other people that are at the pool when you go into a public pool and baptize somebody. And so me and this gentleman were sitting there. We prayed before it happened, and then we got into the pool and went to the end of the pool. And one of the ladies, she figured out what was going on, and she hollered at some of the other people to, you know, come over and get out of the way and be quiet. And, you know, just we did our thing. I baptized him, and when he came out of the water, everybody started clapping. And it was really awesome. And they, you know, clapped, and kept clapping, and then all gave me a thumbs up. So it was really a neat, special time. So, you know, it was just, I wanted to share that. It was, you know, and the guy showed me on his phone, and he had Scriptures for America Truck Driver, and he says, this is what I listen to. He said, I listen to Pastor Pete when I'm going down the radio. I listen to you guys in the mornings on coffee, and just really wanted to say thanks to his Christian family out there that he's never met. And so I just wanted to share that real quick. And just it was just a good thing.
That's an incredible testimony. Wonderful. I think that's,
yes.
and God puts all the right people in the right place. I mean, isn't that something? I think that's just, you know, a testament to his authority, how he can set those things up, pave the way.
Yes, exactly.
I think it's a good example and testimony of boldness, too, Jason, of doing that in a public place like that. A lot of times we are so afraid to share the gospel or speak the name of Jesus. And, you know, here's an example of not just talking about Jesus, but, you know, demonstrating it in a real way for, you know, an open air area, and the response from the public being, you know, clapping and thumbs up. I think we should give folks a lot more credit than we do. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Well, and I encourage people to, you know, when we get, you know, somebody that's baptized and stuff like that, keep them in prayer. You know, sometimes it just completely changes their life, and from that moment on, and it was, you know, it's a time I've seen a lot of people that they get baptized and then they get tempted, you know, tempted or tried, or trials and tribulations, you know, come into their life, and I believe that they're tests. And it just encouraged people to, you know, pray for those that have been baptized. Also, and I know we only got a few minutes left, but I want to move on to Prepper Tip of the Week. And I know we didn't get a chance to talk about this week, but, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes life gives you real life lessons. And so for myself this week, I've got a gun safe that is got a combination lock on it, you know, because I was always told and under the impression, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't trust the electronic locks. Do I have some? Yes, I do have some. But I don't like that just because of EMP. They are not EMP proof. You get hit with an EMP, it's a good chance that those locks are not going to work. So I tried to, you know, I've had one gun safe that I've got in my office that I keep mostly just you know, paperwork in it and checkbooks and different things and stuff that I've got organized. And that was a combination lock, which, you know, is what I wanted, and was told that they don't fail. Well, I got news for you. Everything fails. And this one failed on me, and it's like, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to figure it out, and it's like, okay, and I've got stuff in there that it's like, and I was working on it, trying to get some paperwork done yesterday, and I needed it for Monday, and this thing don't work. I mean, it's like, what happened? I mean, it's got a good lock, it just don't work. And, you know, and I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, I don't put my faith in. I don't know what to say, but I got stuff to keep something safe in there, and now I can't get to it. And I know a lot of people out there that put stuff into a safe or a lockbox or someplace that they can't even get to. And I guess my point is, don't have all your eggs in one basket. And I don't, but I know there are a lot of people that do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, and you know, I guess for me it is, you know, don't think that something's bulletproof or that it's not going to fail, because it's there's, you know, you can have anything can fail, except for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. anything that we have that has a motor on it that's mechanical, that is built by man, can fail. And we've got to think about that. It's like, what are you going to do if this fails me? And that's what I was sitting there thinking. It's like, okay, if I had all my handguns, or if I had my rifles in here, or if I had everything locked up in this safe, which I know a lot of people that do. It's they get a safe. That's where they put their guns in there. They put their ammo in there. They put everything in there. What happens when that fails them? I mean, what happens if you need something that's in there and you can't open it? Well, I've heard it over and over and over. Well, I've got the combination lock on here, so because these things don't fail. I've heard that said. I've heard it from safe people that have deal in the business, and that's what they've told me. And well, I got news for them. It's this one failed.
Yep. False advertising. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Can I pile on top of that?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah, it's open.
All right. So on top of, since we're talking about saves and we're talking about combinations, on top of that, one of the things I would stress to people is if you got a combination save, and if you got a safe that it's a keyed safe, it's a digital pad safe, it's a turning combo safe, whatever, and that's where you're keeping your guns, you're not keeping one by the bedside, whatever the case may be, and you're depending on that safe to keep them safe and secure until you need it, what I want you to do is to run in place as hard as you can for about 60 seconds, and then drop down and do 20 push-ups, and then go to the combination and see how well you can pop in the combination when your blood pressure's up and the adrenaline is up. Just a thought. It's stress inoculation, because when the window crashes in the middle of the night and you need to run to the safe, is it lit? Can you see the combo? Do you have a flashlight? Is there a light above the combo? And to me, Jason, it's kind of the false security thing. Is I agree. My weapons are in safes and they're secure there. But you have to remember and think about all aspects of it. May not be the mechanism that fails. It may be us failing ourselves, because we have never thought about the stress inoculation in the middle of the night and trying to get into that lockbox. Using a combo or a key, whatever the case may be. And that may be something that we need to think about and train about.
Well, and I tried opening one for, I had to go to somebody's house and they had the combination, and the power was out and they needed to get into something, and just not being able to see where this safe was located, was a lot harder than I expected it to be. They handed me a card with the combination written on it, wanted me to open it, and it's like, and it was different. It's like, okay, so do you go four times past the number and stop on this number? And, they all have a little bit different. They didn't know, and I was trying to help them. And it was an elderly person, but just not being able to see very good as far as the numbers and the worn, it was a worn out dial. It was a challenge. I mean, it was a challenge with the combination to get the thing open. But there was no way somebody was going to get in that thing in a hurry, even with the combo.
Well, I've suggested designated key rings, because I've seen keyed safes where someone has it on a generic key ring that may. It's got a key for the outbuilding, a key for the barn, and a key for the well house, and a key for the gun safe. And at 2 a.m, how quick are you going to find the right key?
Right.
Of trying to shift through the keys, and especially when they're all about the same size and they're all, bronze colored, and things like that. As far as consideration, you may want a designated key ring to hang up on a hook in whatever strategic location that that is the key that fits this safe. That's the key that fits the well house. That's the key that fits whatever. And that's part of prepping, right? Is the mental capacity of thinking things through. And so that's a great prepper tip, Jason, of anything made by human hands can be destroyed by human hands, whether we intend to destroy it or not.
Well, and I was just thinking about that. You know, here's something that I got that is good quality, and I've done research, and I thought that it was something that was good. And it's like, you know, my water filters or anything else, you know, when you're going to buy something and put the money into something, you want a, you know, a good quality product that is not going to let you down. And I was thinking about it after this, you know, this safe mechanism failed. Also about, you know, my water filter. It's like if I just had one water filter and that, and I was dependent on that, that water filter could fail me. You know, I really like the Katadyn pocket filters for a backpack survival situation water filter. But if I had just one of those and that thing, I mean, it's mechanical, it's got moving parts. It could fail. It's very possible that something in there over time or overuse or dropping it or something like that could fail. And I guess redundancy is, you know, what the word that is coming to mind is having that, you know, if you are putting all your trust in one single solitary product, don't. You need to think about, okay, anything that you have, it's like you remove it, you know, from your arsenal and then think, okay, what am I going to do? What's my plan B? What's my plan C, D, and so on and so forth. It's something that, you know, we need to think about is, you know, and have the knowledge or the ability to fix it. Oh, I'll fix it. Well, I got the best of this, or I got, you know, I've got a Berkey with black filters in it, and, you know, which is a phenomenal water filter as well. But okay, remove that. What are you going to do? What is your plan B? Because you might not have that. And you know, it's just a mindset and a mentality that I think that, you know, we just need to be continually aware of.
Yeah, the exceptions and the outliers to normal stuff are what, you know, I mean, maybe that new filter that's in the package had a defect from the factory. That's not your fault, but it would be handy to have another one. I mean, you know, they have a 1% failure rate. Maybe you've got the 1%.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
you know, the old saying, the old adage, you know, one is none, two is one. Redundancy is a good thing. Have a backup to your backup.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%. And it's like, you know, something, and sometimes it's just stuff that you don't think about. And it's like, okay, here I am in this situation. And it's like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. Yes.
I guess we're constantly learning. Yeah. I mean, that's what, and you know, just stepping back is, you know, that's what, when I was talking with this man yesterday that I baptized, is, you know, he was talking about, you know, he wanted to be meek. He wanted to be humble. He wanted to be teachable. And, talking to this man who's, quite a few years older than I am. But he wanted to be in that position because he wanted to learn. And I really appreciate that when you got somebody that really wants to learn, you know, then you can teach them something. Somebody that's got everything figured out, it's really hard to teach them something.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard on them to learn too.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is. Well, we got about probably about 3 minutes left because we'll close out with a song. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Well, I sure think things are improving across the land. I mean, I know things seem like they're more an upheaval than they were, but I also think that our rock and our salvation is our Heavenly Father, and I think when we turn to Him in the midst of the storm, we have the solace of His strength. So that's what I'm going to close out with.
I'm going to jump right on top of what Tim say, and just in all the chaos and craziness in the world, I want all of our people to remember God has made us for a time just as this, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let's all rejoice, and we will be glad in it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I agree with both you men, and you know, just encourage people to, you know, to be praying, smile at the future. I'm excited about the things that we're seeing in the future and seeing happening right before our eyes. It is an exciting time to live in. you know, and just don't lose heart. Be, you know, be excited, be happy with the things that are taking place, and don't be robbed of the joy of the Lord that we have. You know, there's so many things that can come back and try to steal that from a person. And I've seen it happen, a lot. And it's a choice that you can make, and you can turn it off and just, you know, don't be taken advantage. Don't be robbed of the joy of the Lord that we're supposed to have in our lives. We're going to go out with a song. Thanks, man, for being here.
Thank you.
See you in church tomorrow.
Yep.
Listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others,